Okay, one time, in the time of the Baal Shem Taiv, there was a chassid named Reb David, very poor. Reb David had a daughter, and the other girls, Reb David's daughter's age, this girl's age, became kalameidlach. They were getting married, they were having a chasene. Reb David's daughter, Nebuch, was not married yet. Now, not chas v'shalom, there's anything wrong, she shouldn't get married. She's a nice girl, a fine girl, she's from, she's smart, she's good. Why didn't Reb David find her a shidduch? Because Reb David was so poor, he could not afford to make the chasana. Not only make the chasana, because you know a chasana costs money for food and for all the things that you need for the chasana. But when they get married, they have to have a place to live, the chasana and kala, they have to have things. And the wife's family, the kala's family, has to help out with chasana, to make the chasana, and to help the chasana and kala to have things. Reb David hardly have money for food for the week, to buy a potato, to buy a piece of bread, to buy an onion. How could he have money to pay for a chasana, to invite people, and to have a suuda, and to have a band to play the music, to have a place, to have a hall, whatever you need? All of these things cost money, and Reb David had no money at all. Now, Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov noticed that Reb David is not making a shidduch for his daughter. And, of course, the Baal Shem Tov knew how poor Reb David is and how he needs money for a chasana. And the Baal Shem Tov one day calls some of his talmidim and he says to them, Reb David's daughter needs a shidduch. There's two bachrim, one in one town and one in a different town. I would like you to go and meet these two bachrim, and you figure out which bachr will be the nicer bachr for Reb David's daughter. These two talmidim, they knew Reb David, they knew his daughter, so they will be able to find a shidduch. But the Baal Shem Tov told them of two bachrim, that they should meet these two bachrim. The talmidim traveled to the families. They met the first bachr. They spoke with him. He's very nice. Okay. They traveled to the other town and they met the second bachr. They spoke to him and they saw that he's very edel, very nice, very frum, Talmud Chachim. And for whatever reason, they liked the second bachr over the first bachr. And the Baal Shem Tov had given them money to give to the family as a gift and to give them as a gift for the shidduch. And they said that we would like to make a shidduch between Reb David, and they didn't know who Reb David was. They just said there's a very fine girl in the town of the Baal Shem Tov, and her father's name is Reb David, and your son, we feel, since we're shluchim for the Baal Shem Tov, your son would be a nice shidduch for Reb David's daughter. And the family said, very nice. It sounds good. After all, you were sent by the Baal Shem Tov, a great tzaddik. And if the Baal Shem Tov cares enough about Reb David's daughter, she must be a very fine girl. Of course, our son is very nice and very fine. So they agreed to the shidduch. And the father of the chosn, he took out a box, and in the box was a beautiful, beautiful necklace made out of gold. Beautiful and expensive. And he says to the two talmidim of Baal Shem Tov, give this present for the kala from us, because we agreed to the shidduch. We want to send a nice present for the kala, from our son and from our family to the kala. So please take this to Reb David and tell him that we agree to the shidduch, and of course we're looking forward to meeting him and of course his daughter. But of course we expect that this Reb David being that he's going to be our mechutin, his daughter is going to marry our son, so he should send the present for our son. We're sending a beautiful present for his daughter, so we are going to wait to get also a box from him with some kind of a present for our son. And of course, the chasana money, because the Kala's family has to help a lot with the chasana money. So we'll be waiting here for the present and the chasana money. And the two Talmidim, they go back to the Baal Shem Tov. They tell him what happened. And the Baal Shem Tov calls Reb David. And he says to Reb David, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. We found a wonderful shidduch for your daughter, a very fine boy. Reb David says, but wait a minute. I'm so glad that you found a shidduch for my daughter, but I don't have money. I know a chasana costs money, and to help the chasana and kala to get started, I just don't have money. Baal Shem Tov says, don't worry. Hashem is going to help. The main thing, your daughter has a wonderful shidduch. I sent my talmidim. They met the bachur. And you're going to have a nice shidduch for your daughter. Okay, the two Talmidim said to Reb David, here is a box sent by the Chassan's father for your daughter. And Reb David opened up the box and he saw the beautiful golden necklace. Oh, it's so beautiful. And he gave it to his daughter. And she was so happy to get such a beautiful gift from her Chassan. And the Talmidim said to Reb David, but the father of the Chassan said, he's waiting from you also for a present. So remember, a present for the Chassan, this is what the father is waiting for, that you should give the Chassan also a present. Reb David went home, and now he got very, very sad. Ay, how am I going to get money for a present for the Chassan? He gave such a beautiful present, a golden necklace worth a lot of money. I can't just send them some kind of a little present. What am I going to send them that I can afford? I should send them a potato. I should send them an onion. A loaf of bread, a bagel. Here he gives me a beautiful golden necklace. I've got to give him something nice also. Oh, what am I going to do? I have to send the present. Well, the time went on. Reb David tried to save a few pennies here and there. Of course, it came time to buy for Shabbos. All the money got used up just to buy little things for Shabbos. A little stickle fleshy, a little stickle chicken or whatever they could have, a little piece of fishy. They had no extra money. And so, kiddies, as the time went on, Reb David did not send any kind of a present back to the Chosn. One day, he gets a letter in the mail, and he opens up the letter, and it says, Dear Mechutin, that means Reb David is the one who his daughter is going to marry the Chassan. The family of the Chassan sends him a letter. Dear Reb David, we did not get from you any kind of a present yet, and we're very upset. We sent your daughter a beautiful golden necklace, and we're waiting a present from you. How come you're not sending for the chasen the present? Is it nice? And Reb David starts to cry. Oi, oi, oi. I want to send the present, but I have no money. What am I going to do? And he decides to go to the Baal Shem Tov and tell the Baal Shem Tov that he doesn't have any money to send the present. What should he do? And he goes to the Baal Shem Tov and he tells him. The Baal Shem Tov says, don't worry. Hashem will help. Everything's going to be okay. You'll have whatever you need. He goes home, still no money. The time goes on, still no money. A little while later, another letter comes in the mail. Dear Reb David, no present, no chasana money, no nothing. What's going on? We're getting very upset already. The time is going on. And Reb David goes back to the Baal Shem Tov. What am I going to do? Baal Shem Tov says, don't worry, Hashem's going to help. Be patient. Put your trust in Hashem. And the next week a letter comes. Dear Reb David, we are coming to visit you to your town. We're going to be there in exactly a week. And we want to meet you and we want you to give us the gift for our son, and we want the chas and the geld, and we want to arrange everything, and we're on our way. See you soon, Reb David. And Reb David reads the letter. They're coming, they're coming, they're on their way, and I still have no money, not a penny. What am I going to give? What can I do? It sounds like a nice chas and a nice family. I'm disappointing them. Well, all he thought that he could do was just go back to the Baal Shem Tev. And he goes back to the Baal Shem Tev Kindalach. And as he's going through the door to the Baal Shem Tev, at the exact same time came another man. He looked like a businessman dressed up like a businessman in a nice suit, like he came from a big city somewhere. And they both came to the door at exactly the same time. Reb David says to the businessman, go ahead first. The businessman says to Reb David, no, you go first. Reb David says, no, you go first. No, you go first. Okay, let's both go in. And they both go in to the room of the Baal Shem Tev. The Shamash led both of them in at one time because they both come exactly, they both came exactly at the same time. The Baal Shem Tev looked only at Reb David. He didn't even look at the other man that came in. And he says, Reb David, what's wrong? And Reb David starts to cry again. He has no money and he's worried and they're coming and what's he going to do? And the Baal Shem Tov says, Reb David, let me tell you a story. And the businessman who came in was just standing right there. Baal Shem Tov didn't say to leave, didn't say to stay, nothing. He was just all of a sudden there. And the Baal Shem Tov starts a maise telling to Reb David all of a sudden, who knows why, but the Baal Shem Tov is starting to tell Reb David this maise. He says, Reb David, I want you to hear this maise. There's a big city, and its name is Danzig. And in Danzig, there lived, actually there still lives, a businessman. His name is Reuven. Reuven goes on trips, and he goes selling things and buying things, and he handles a lot of money. This Reuven went on a long trip. He took some of his workers with him to help him on the business, and on this trip he got a lot of money. He was coming back in the wagon. They were going through the forest. He's on his way home with all the money, and as they're traveling, the workers decided to plan a plan against Reb Reuven to steal his money. And as they're going on the wagon, they climbed up and they tied up the wagon driver that he shouldn't do anything to help. They stopped the wagon, and now they came and they pulled out knives, and they said to this Reb Reuven, go out in the forest. Reb Reuven says, but we're going home, and we're all going home to our families. And the worker said, that's what you think, you're going to the forest. They pointed the knives at him. They made him go out to the forest. As soon as they got out in the forest, they tied him up and they took all of the money away from him because he was carrying the money in his pockets. They robbed him. Reuven says, but you're my workers. I'm paying you nicely for your work. What are you doing? We know how much money you have. We want all of the money for ourselves. Reuven says, let me go. Get those knives away. Let me go back to my family. I want to see my wife and my kindalach. And they said, you're not going to see your wife and you're not going to see your kids because this is the end for you in the forest. If we let you go, you're going to go tell the police and get us in trouble. So we are going to kill you. No, Reuven says, no, don't kill me. Not for this money. Let me go. Let me have my life. My life is worth more than the money. Take the money. Let me go. No, we are going to kill you. And no matter what Reuven would say, they didn't let up until he says, it's time to daven. Let me daven my last davening to Hashem. At least let me do this last thing. And whatever you have to do, then you do. I only want to daven to Hashem one last time. Okay, go and daven. And as he's tied up, he goes over to a tree and davens his last davening with tears, with crying, with whatever tshuva he could do, because he's going to daven his last davening to Hashem in the world. Kindalach, as he was davening, he was also saying to Hashem, Hashem, I've heard so many stories about you and miracles in the Chumash and in Maizos of Tzadikim, and of course I believe in you. I know who I am, I don't deserve a miracle, but I know you're Hashem, and sometimes you help a person because not what he is now, maybe later on the person will do something special, and so now you help him now. I know such stories also. So he says to Hashem, Hashem, if you let me live, if you help me, I will give half of my money for tzedakah. Half of my money I will give to poor people, to help poor people. And as he's saying these words and crying, all of a sudden, Kindalach, there came down the road a whole big group of horses and men. It was a poret on a hunting trip. And all of a sudden they saw these people with knives and this yid tied up by a tree crying. And of course they saw what was happening, that this yid was in trouble. And they rode right over with their rifles and their guns, and they pointed it at the workers. And they untied the ropes of Reuven. They let him free, and they took the workers. They took the workers to the police. They gave the money back to Reuven. They untied the driver, and Reuven now was able to go home safe. Nothing happened to him. Of course, Reuven thanked Hashem, and he got home. He told his family what happened. He made a suda saida that you thank Hashem with special suda. But now it came time one night that Reuven is sitting in his beautiful home, in his room, at his desk, and he remembers that he told Hashem he's going to give half the money for tzedakah. Okay, I said to Hashem, I'm going to do that. That was my hachlata toiva. I know I'm supposed to do that if I said that to Hashem. Even you think a good thing for Hashem, you should do it. He went over to the safe, which is a special place in the wall. There's a lock over there, and it was hidden behind a picture. He opened up his safe, and he took out his bags of gold. And he counted up how much bags of gold and how much bags of silver and bags of money that he had. And it came up to so much money. He saw how much money he had. And even half of that money was so much money. And all of a sudden, Kindalach, he says to himself, so much money to give for tzedakah. A half of my money. So many bags of gold. I should give half for tzedakah. Well, I did promise Hashem. I mean, I did say to Hashem that I'll give it. So that's a very important thing. But who says when I have to give it? Maybe I'll give it over a week or over a month, maybe over a year, maybe over a few years. Slowly I'll give the tzedakah. So he gave the next day part of it for tzedakah, but the big part he left locked up in his safe, and he says, I'll give it slowly, because who says when I have to give it? Now, Kindalach, this of course was the Yetzer Hara trying to cool off a good thing. And sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes, he can't say, don't do it, but he just says, do it later, do it slowly. A short time after that, Kindalach, now again, the Baal Shem Tov is telling this Maise to Reb David as another man is listening into the room. Remember that. This is a Maise the Baal Shem Tov is telling. And the Baal Shem Tov goes on and he says, a while later, this Reb Reuven, this businessman, his wife got very, very sick. She went to the doctor in Danzig, a good doctor, he said, I'm going to try different medicines. I'm not exactly sure what this is. The medicines are very expensive, but this is what she needs. They gave her the medicines, and the medicines did not help. Reuven had to pay the doctor. He had to pay for the medicines. Then the doctor says, she better go to the hospital. She went to the hospital, of course. It's very expensive. Other doctors came. They gave her other kinds of medicines and other kinds of shots and other kinds of things. It still did not help, and she got more and more sick. They had to take her to another hospital in a different city. And there were bigger doctors over there, more expensive doctors, more expensive medicines, a more expensive hospital. And as the time went on, this Reb Reuven spent so much money for the hospitals and for the doctors and for the medicines. And his wife still did not get better, and they couldn't even figure out what was wrong. All they knew is she had a very strange sickness. And now Kinelach, for the first time, since he came into the room, the Baal Shem Tov turned towards this businessman who was standing there, and he looked him right in the eyes, and he says, Reb Reuven, how much money have you already spent for your wife? Is it not even more than half the money that you had locked up in your safe that you said you were going to give for tzedakah? Kinelach, this Reb Reuven. This man, this businessman, his name was Reb Reuven. He had been standing listening to the story of his own life the last few months and his own wife. His own life and his own wife. Because the Baal Shem Tov was telling exactly what had been happening to him with his business trip, with getting robbed, with his davening and getting saved, and his hachlata toiva, and what he did at night in his house, in his room, by his desk, and even what he was thinking. The Baal Shem Tov told exactly every little detail of what had happened to him the last few months, and how his wife Nebuch got sick and they couldn't help her, and she was in the hospital with doctors and it was costing so much money. And his eyes were just popping out of his head. He couldn't believe. I mean, he knew the Baal Shem Tov is a great tzaddik. And that's why he came to the Baal Shem Tov, because his wife and him, they decided the only thing left is to go to the great tzaddik, the Baal Shem Tov, to ask for help. That's why he came to the Baal Shem Tov, to ask help for his wife, to ask a bracha to help his wife. And the Baal Shem Tov is telling him everything that happened. And he put down his head and started to cry. Yes, it's cost more than half the money I had. And the Baal Shem Tov says, Reb Reuven, it's not too late for tshuva. You have to give the rest of the money that you did not give for tzedakah. You have to give it all at once to help a poor person. And the quicker you do it, the quicker your wife will have a refuah shleima. And this Reb Reuven said, I brought the money with me. I have it in my pocket. He pulled out of his pocket a bag of gold, and he put it down on the table to the Baal Shem Tov. And inside were 3,000 golden coins. And Reb Reuven says, I'm ready to give it right now. I'll give it to a poor person right now. Okay, the Baal Shem Tov says, standing next to you is a man, right here, Reb David. He's a poor person, a good man, but he certainly could use this money for a chasana for his daughter, to buy her all the things, to make the beautiful chasana. And Reb Reuven says, take it, I'll be glad to give it to you. And sure enough, Kinelach, Reb Reuven gave Reb David the 3,000 golden coins. Reb David, of course, was so happy. He took the money. By the time his mechutonim came to meet him, he had a beautiful gift for the chasan. He had his house fixed up nice. They had a nice room to stay in. He treated them beautifully. They made a beautiful chasana. Of course, Reb Reuven was invited with his wife, and by this time she felt so good. And she was also dancing by the chasana. She had her refuah shleima. And Kinelach, that is demaiseh. Once, Kenalach, a long time ago, there was a king. The king became very, very sick. The king needed medicine, and the doctor of the king gave the king medicine. And he was a good doctor. But the medicine did not help the king. He gave the king other medicines and pills and shots and creams and different things to eat, a special diet. And the king was in his bed, getting weaker and sicker, and his face looked very not good, and his stomach felt very not good. And the doctor sees that the king is very, very sick. Then the doctor saw there's a big emergency, and the king is in danger of his life. He called other doctors from other lands and other palaces of other kings, the best doctors. They made an emergency meeting to see what they could do to help this king to save his life. And they saw that any medicine they came up with, and any kind of treatment and any kind of shot, whatever they did, was not helping. And the king had very little strength left. The doctor thought that the king only has a few days left of his life to live, unless there's some kind of big miracle. And the king said, "Make a contest in all of the lands that I'm a king, that anybody that could help me, anybody that knows some kind of a treatment, a medicine, something to do for me, whatever it is. Maybe you doctors don't know everything. If there's somebody in my lands that could help me, he will win a tremendous big bag of gold. So make announcements," the king says to his officers, "in every place in my lands, for the people to know that there will be a very big reward whoever helps me." And the officers of the king went out in the different towns and cities and the different marketplaces, and they put up signs everywhere that told the people, "The king only has a few days to live. If you know of any way to help the king, please come and help the king, and you're going to win a tremendous big reward." Kenalach, people came from all over the place with all kinds of ways that they thought they could help the king. Nothing was working. Finally came a man, and the king was already now like asleep. He was still alive, but he was very, very sick, and he was lying there like he was asleep. And the doctors and the officers surrounded the king's bed in his room, and they would try to find out what the people brought and talk to them. And a certain man came, and he said that he has for sure a way to help the king. But it's very difficult to get this thing that he needs. But if he gets it, he says for sure he'll be able to save the king's life. And that was the milk of a lion. If the king will drink the milk of a lion, there was something inside of this milk that had the power to be able to save the king's life. And the man said, "I'm going to need a few days. Hopefully the king will live more than 3 days. I think I'm going to need about 10 days. But if I can get this lion's milk and give it to the king, he will live." Well, the doctors had never heard about this before, and they discussed the matter. They didn't know what to think or what to say. But of course, they knew that there are many, many things in the world that we don't know. Even doctors don't know. And in fact, listen to this very carefully. Out of all the plants in the world, Hashem made plants. And from the plants, you know, come medicines. Many medicines come right from plants, from leaves and from different growing things. Out of every 100 plants that grow in the world, do you know how many we know about, how they work? Out of every 100 plants? 2. 2 out of 100. Now, that means out of 100 different kinds of plants, bushes and trees and plants and berries and fruits and seeds, out of every 100, we only know about 2, how they work, and 98, we don't know how they work or what they do. And that's now, today. We're not talking about 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. And out of 1,000 plants, out of 1,000 different kinds of plants, we only know about, you know how many? 20. Just 20. And 980 we don't know. There's so many things we don't know. How many things are contained in these plants or different things in the world? We just don't know how they work.